Welcome to Inspired with Megan Alexander. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Inspired podcast. I'm Megan Alexander, and you all know this is where I chat with people who inspire, create, and lead. Everyone can use a little inspiration. That's why we do this podcast. Joining me today, the mother and daughter dynamic duo of Jackie Green and her daughter, Lauren Green McAfee. Welcome, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
So excited to have you. Got to share with everybody, it took a little bit of a small miracle for the three of us to get together.
I'm glad it worked.
You both are based in Oklahoma.
Yes.
Yet you're also in D.C. all the time, traveling the country, in D.C. for the Museum of the Bible.
Yes.
We wanted to do this in D.C. originally, but I was in Dallas that day. We tried for New York, and finally we realized we would all be in Nashville today.
Finally. Coordinated the schedules. Yes. It is a small miracle.
So Nashville it is. Yes. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Megan.
Wonderful to be here at Audio Productions. Thank you to Clark and Jim, as always, for letting me do it here. Speaking of travel, do you like traveling? Do you like to fly?
It has its ups and downs. The airport food is the downside. But yeah, it's a great blessing to get to travel and be all over the country. So
yeah, I like it at times. But, you know, that's when everything runs smoothly. When the flights are delayed and technical difficulties. I don't always handle that real well. But it's a lesson for me to learn to be patient and all those kind of things.
Oh, me as well. It's a beautiful, relaxing way of transportation when everything is on time.
Yes.
Window or aisle seat?
Aisle, for sure.
Yeah. Aisle for me, too.
Uh-huh. I'm window. I like to curl up in the corner, just snuggle up. Do you have a favorite airport to fly in and out of?
The Charlotte airport's not bad.
I love the Charlotte airport. It's nice.
They've got some nice things there, places to eat, and it's not too massive.
Rocking chairs.
Yes, the white rocking chairs.
I love the rocking chairs.
And there's a Chick-fil-A in that airport.
There's a Chick-fil-A. There is a Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory.
And there's a Jamba Juice. I was just there last week.
Yes, that honestly is one of my favorite airports because it feels a bit more relaxed than other airports.
Yeah, and it's not like crazy massive like DFW. But yes, I like it.
Yes. Do you have something that you have to travel with, an item that you always must take with you?
I always have to have a layer, like my jean jacket or this big sweater that I wear that's kind of like a blanket, because I always get cold on flights.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I always have a scarf in my bag.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you just wrap up in it if you have to.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. And the first thing I do when I go through security is get a water bottle.
Yep.
So I have this fear of being on a flight and being so thirsty. And not having any water, so I always bring water.
Yes. And then snacks, in case it takes a while for the snack the snack tray to get to you. Okay, so more fun questions later. You guys know I love to do those. Mm-hmm. But let's get somewhat down to business here. You ladies are here today because you have both co-written a beautiful book, Only One Life, How a Woman's Everyday Shapes an Eternal Legacy. First of all, congratulations. Writing a book is a major accomplishment.
Thank you.
How does it feel?
It feels great.
Yeah, it's great to have it out there in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's so timely, I think, and so needed right now. And Lauren, when you let me know that it was coming and graciously asked me, you know, if I would write an endorsement, and I loved doing it because I thought, how appropriate with all the conversations going on right now about women, leadership, the Me Too movement,
right?
To think about what your legacy is as a woman.
Right. I think that we love the message of this book because it's such a positive picture of a woman's role in leading and shaping a legacy. And it also provides the perspective that this is available for anyone. So in Only One Life, we highlight 36 different women. We highlight women from the Bible, women from history, and then women today who have made a significant impact in the world and shaped an eternal legacy by investing in things in the context that they found themselves in. And so it was really encouraging for us to get to read these women's stories. And we knew that it was a great time to be able to just celebrate amazing women that have done incredible things. And so we hope that it is an encouragement and inspiration to people as they read it, just as it was for us getting to learn about these women.
Yeah.
I think so often we are influenced by women in our lives, wonderful women that have been leaders for us in our journey and pointing us down a good path and investing in us, but we don't often stop and recognize that. So that was another thing that we initially were thinking about. We're influenced by women around the world every day. And so looking at the women in history and of course, from the Bible and people that are currently living that out, as Lauren mentioned, it's just such an inspiration when we just stop and look at it. and realize that we also can be that person for someone too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love the formula. In the book, you share the stories, the legacies of 36 women and what their legacy is to the world. What message are they giving the world to use as inspiration as people learn of their stories? And I love, for example, when you share the legacy of courage, because you give all types of legacies, courage, tenacity, wisdom. As you mentioned, you give a biblical woman, a historical woman, and a modern day woman. Mm-hmm. How'd the formula come up? What made you go that direction?
You know, the whole concept for the book kind of came up organically. We've had the privilege of having a lot of conversation in our own family about legacy and what that means for us. And so as we were meeting women across the country who were doing really intentional things to shape a significant legacy of their own, we were inspired by their stories. So whenever it came to wanting to share the stories of amazing women, we knew so many women today that were, but I've also been so influenced by biographies and getting to read women's stories from history. So I wanted to get to kind of highlight some of those stories of women through history. And then we also both, the Bible is the most important thing. I mean, that's a foundation for our faith. And so, yeah, it just kind of organically came up of wanting to highlight women from the Bible and history and today. And so we kind of just were able to work through and realize, you know, I think that we could do this in a format where every chapter we highlight a particular character trait and then look at women that exhibited that trait from all of these different time periods.
Exactly. It goes back for both of you to one strong woman that sort of kicked this all off in your family, Marie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talk about Marie.
Well, we would say that Marie Green was the legacy hero in our family. And we, as Lauren mentioned, have done as a family a lot of the hard work of trying to put down our family mission and our vision and our values. But, you know, it's a lot of hard work to get a lot of people in the room to say, hey, what really matters for us, for eternal purpose? What are our goals for legacy, for our family? And so we did do that, but so much of the foundation came from the Grandma Marie, that she exhibited this character and instilled values and biblical principles in her family, and it has passed down through the generations.
Yeah, so Marie Green is my grandfather David Green's mother. And I think a lot of people would look to my grandfather David Green, founder of Hobby Lobby, and say that he might be the legacy hero, but really it's his mother, Marie Green, who was a pastor's wife and served her family and her children, never wrote a book, never stood on stage, and never really made a lot of money or did a lot of things that the world would say were influential. But her role in shaping a legacy has had influence all over the world through the way that she invested in her children. And all of her children grew up to be ministers or pastor's wife, and then my grandfather founded Hobby Lobby. So they've each gone on to do amazing things that have left and shaped a legacy. So she is a legacy hero for us.
Yeah. I love how you open up the book talking about the family gathering in the kitchen around the table, beginning to make picture frames.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you think of Hobby Lobby and these incredible arts and crafts stores that are all over the world. It started there with the family coming together, using their hands mm-hmm. to create something.
Right. That's true.
What do you think Marie would think about everything now, today?
Well, I think an important point that is right there. She did not ever see the fruition of all of her efforts. And so I think she would love it. I think that she would be so thrilled to know that, you know, all of her kids did continue to serve God, and which was the foundational thing that she tried to instill in them, was to serve God. So she never got to see that. But as my husband likes to say, I feel like, you know, although she didn't have awards or rewards in, or I should say awards, of recognition here on earth, he feels like that heaven would have rolled out the red carpet for her, because she just gave and she showed all of these character traits that we are talking about in the book: generosity, compassion, wisdom, rescue, all of these mm-hmm. wonderful things that we all desire to have. She exhibited that before her six children and didn't see the return.
Yeah. It's also, I think, so important in life to go back and know your family history. Where did you come from? What are the stories? I know my husband has been on this quest to map out his side of the family. And when we were in Minnesota with his relatives, he's like, we've got to get this family tree done, Aunt Marg. And so his Aunt Marg is helping him. He wants to know the stories. He wants to know what people were all about. And when you go back, I just love hearing about people's family history. And yeah. So for me, it was so cool to hear about Marie. And then as you continue through this book, you dig deep into the lives of so many different women that maybe we've seen from a distance, but you're showing us what kept them together in hard times. How has their faith kept them going when maybe they wanted to give up. So many great women in the book. I wish I could go through all of them. I'm going to pick out a couple of my favorites. And I don't even mean to say favorite because they're all fantastic. But in light of the recent royal wedding, you include in your book Queen Elizabeth.
Yes.
Fascinating woman. When you think of her and her story and her power as a world leader, mm-hmm. all that she has been through, I thought it was really interesting when Billy Graham passed away just, you know, not long ago, that they had a relationship. And you mentioned in the book, it was page 95 of the book, you talk about some different messages that she gave to the world, her Christmas addresses and different times when she's spoken out about her faith. She declared in your book, you write this, "To many of us, our beliefs are of fundamental importance. For me," this is Queen Elizabeth speaking, "the teachings of Christ and my own personal accountability before God provide a framework in which I try to lead my life. I, like so many of you, have drawn great comfort in difficult times from Christ's words and example."
Mm, yeah.
Queen Elizabeth, that's right. Incredible. What was it like to research her and learn this about her?
It was a lot of fun because, you know, she's one of the most recognized women in the world, mm-hmm. worldwide. You know, she's just, I think, well-respected and revered woman in our history. She has had an influence, and of course, in the UK. But for me, there's a personal note on there.
There is. Should I call you Lady Jackie tell the story?
Sure. You and a curtsy, too. Right? Well, you mentioned the stories, the family stories. So my husband and I, several years ago, we also got interested in the genealogical, you know, background and the lines of all of our families. So this story had come down the line that, you know, we had this connection to the Queen. And, you know, it's like, okay, really? Yeah, maybe. Okay, sure. You know, but my Mother's Day gift 2 years ago, my husband gave me the gift of hiring a professional genealogist. He did the background work and proved that she's my ninth cousin. So
Queen Elizabeth Queen is Elizabeth. Your ninth cousin.
My ninth cousin. Yes.
That is so cool.
So now I haven't been able to tell her that yet. So
does that mean you're in line for the throne?
I doubt it.
I mean, we wish.
With how many thousand of other people? I don't know how many ninth cousins we all have, but,
right,
you know,
exactly.
A lot.
It's a great story,
yeah.
though.
Yeah, it sure is. So, but, you know, then there's the faith connection. And I really deeply appreciated that because, you know, I've been told that she's really well versed in scripture. She has a faith of her own. And, you know, she makes her speech every Christmas and, mm-hmm. and often refers to her faith. And for her 90th birthday, there was a book that was produced, and it's called The Servant Queen and the King She Serves, her 90th birthday memoir. And she talks about her faith, you know, very openly in there. And it just really meant a lot to me because think about what she's been through in the last 90 plus years.
Oh my gosh.
And the change throughout the UK. And so I think she's a very well-respected and revered woman and has much wisdom, and we can learn from her
yeah.
example.
Absolutely. It was interesting, too, you know, as I mentioned, this relationship she had with Billy Graham and the fact that when Billy Graham passed away, people were saying that the two of them used to meet and she would ask his advice mm-hmm. on faith matters. And he may have even advised her on some of these Christmas messages that she gives to the world. Fascinating. She's the Queen of England, and yet she needs friends and she needs wisdom mm-hmm. and advice from other people, too. It must be a lonely place to be. Mm-hmm. And yet she's carried herself with such dignity, you yes. know, and her legacy is so much. Mm-hmm. From Queen Elizabeth to so many other incredible people in this book, whether it's Rosa Parks, Harriet Tubman, I wanted to talk about Lauren Scruggs Kennedy. This is a fascinating one. And Lauren,
yeah,
you know,
closer
to our generation and someone that's been in the spotlight just recently.
Yeah. Yeah. So Lauren is a friend, and whenever we were looking at women and different character traits that they've exhibited, one of the traits we wanted to focus on was tenacity. And as we were looking at the women from today who are shaping a legacy of tenacity, I thought of my friend Lauren because Lauren Scruggs Kennedy grew up in Dallas, and she was looking at Christmas lights with some friends. They had a plane, so they went up and flew up to see the Christmas lights from the air. And as the plane landed and she was getting off the plane so that another friend could hop on, somehow she got pulled into the propeller. She doesn't remember how it happened, but she ended up severely getting injured, and she lost her left arm as well as the propeller hit the left side of her head, and she lost her left eye. And so she spent months in recovery, and she had been in the fashion world and had a blog, And so this was a really difficult season for her, and she's shared about this. And so just seeing the tenacity that she had to come back from that and work so hard. She worked with incredible trainers to get her back to being able to have the use of her arm. And today she has a blog that is a lifestyle and wellness blog. She has a foundation that's providing prosthetics for other girls who have injuries and limb loss. And she's just a light. And to see her see the beauty in the midst of that difficult season was, I think, speaks to the amazing strength and courage that she has. And she drew that from her faith. She constantly was going back to scripture and looking at her faith to give her strength through the difficult season. And we love the tenacity that she was living out.
Mm. As a news reporter, I covered that story. I mean, so many of us did. And you look at this beautiful young woman, her life's in front of her, the all-American girl. And then this happens. And wow, the inner strength come, you know, what are you going to do in those moments? And what I love, too, is you included a little bit in here a mention of her husband, Jason Kennedy, who is an anchor for E! News, and the story of how they met. And she had those very real feelings that I think all women have when we wonder, is someone going to want to marry us one day? Am I still beautiful? I think every single woman has those thoughts,
yes,
regardless, right?
Yes.
But now after going through something as extreme and dramatic as what she went through, she shared those thoughts. And God has a plan.
Yeah. And I just loved her transparency of, of sharing that she did have those thoughts. She had to lose part of her hair as they were doing surgeries and repairing. And just the grieving that she had to do of the loss of something. You know, she loved long, beautiful hair. And she mentions this all the time. And to walk away from that and then have to hope that someday, you know, you can still get married. And but what if this keeps someone from loving me and fight through those fears and insecurities? And she came up out with strength and courage. And yeah, now she is married to Jason and they're so cute and fun together.
And what I love about that, too, is if you watch E! News and you see Jason Kennedy on television every night reporting on mainly Hollywood and celebrities, there is so much more to a person than what they do. And I think people oftentimes, and I've gotten this with my job working for Inside Edition, people often think, oh, you must just be superficial, materialistic, totally involved in that Hollywood world. There is so much to Jason and his relationship with Lauren and how they met and how they're helping so many other people. He talks the talk and walks the walk.
Yeah.
And she does too.
Yes, they do. They both do.
And what a great reminder that there's just so much going on behind the scenes. And yet, they're doing exactly what they should be doing and how many people they've probably influenced in Hollywood.
Right.
By just shining their light.
Exactly. And I love that they both do. They have that depth and the realness to them. And that was one of the things with so many of the women that we looked at. Some of them were names that are known, like Lauren Shrikes Kennedy. Many people saw her story in the news and Queen Elizabeth. But some of the women that are lesser known, too, they all had in common this strength that they gained from scripture and from their faith that kind of had tied them all together, had the commonalities. And so whether they women were known like Lauren and the Queen or lesser known like Elizabeth Ann Everest is one of the women we highlight. People probably have never heard of her story, but she had an impact and a legacy that is shaping the world today. She was the nanny of Winston Churchill. Winston really attributes to Elizabeth Ann Everest the faith and conviction that he had. And so her legacy is living on and has impacted the world through Winston's impact in the world. So whether women are known or not known, they had that strength, and that is what made the difference in shaping an eternal legacy.
Mm-hmm. All different ends of the spectrum, you're highlighting women. Jackie, who maybe surprised you the most or when you were putting together this book of the women that you profiled?
Well, I think just learning about some of the ones that I didn't know that I'd never heard of would be the most surprising to me. And just bringing it together with women from some of them are younger, some of them are older. They're in different geographical areas of the world, different times. You know, we were, you know, 1,000 years ago to people that are living it out today. And the commonality, seeing that wrapped throughout time, throughout all different kinds of lives, I think any woman could read the book and be inspired and motivated to shape their own legacy story.
Yeah. You both just mentioned something so important. Doesn't matter what you're doing, where you are, famous, not known, and you put it so beautifully, page 193 of the book, you say this, "Yet we know it is the way of our God to scramble up qualification and calling. He called Peter, the rustic fisherman from Galilee, to be Christ's ambassador to the elite Jewish establishment in Jerusalem. At the same time, he sent Paul, the scholar with the impeccable Jewish degree, to share the gospel with a Gentile businesswoman in Philippi." You never know how you're going to be used. And the theme throughout this book is all different types of people. God makes all different shapes, sizes, mm-hmm. colors. And we all can serve a purpose and leave a legacy.
Mm-hmm. That's Absolutely. Right. Yeah, I think that in my own life, personally, I've gotten to see how even different seasons of my life and my friends' lives, as we go through different seasons, that really makes a difference on how we're shaping that legacy. So for me and my husband, we've been married for almost 9 years, and we've wanted to start a family, but we've experienced failed adoption attempts as well as infertility for years now. And so I've seen all of my friends now kind of take that next step in life of having children, and now they're under their second and third children. And leaving a legacy is looking different as I watch them in that new season of having young kids. And realizing that they still have an opportunity to shape a legacy. So they're investing in their children and meeting with other moms and caring for the teachers at the school. And it's just being a witness and a light and really investing in people, even when they're in a season where they feel like all they do is change diapers and yeah. chase their kids and keep them fed. But I see them making a difference. And that's what it's really neat and an open invitation for all of us, all women and men, to really look at our own lives and say, you know, who are the people I can invest in? What are the eternal things that I can invest in that'll live on beyond me? So that's where the legacy is what is it that I'm investing in that'll live on beyond my own life? And that's how we can shape a real eternal legacy.
Sure. What do you hold on to, Lauren, when you are having a rough day and the dreams that you have and so many women and men have out there and things aren't going as you want them to? What keeps you going? What do you hold on to?
For me, it's my faith. Also knowing that it's okay to grieve the losses or the loss of the dreams that you had or things that didn't work out the way you wanted or just the hardships that come our way. It's okay to grieve those and to be sad and even angry about those and go to God with those honest feelings. And I love that God loves us regardless. You know, he wants to have our hearts exactly as who we are and who he created us as. And then there's a lot of joy and strength that I gain from scripture seeing that looking to Christ, Jesus Christ is my ultimate example, that he lived a very difficult life and ended up being killed and dying on a cross and then rose again. But he had joy in his life despite what he knew was ahead of him because he knew it was on the other side of the cross. And so for people of faith, that gives us great hope and joy is because we know the end of the story and that God is in control. Mm-hmm. And that gives a lot of peace to me. And that's what keeps me going in the difficult days.
Yeah. I really appreciate that you ladies are very real in the book, share your trials and tribulations, times you have felt insecure or maybe overwhelmed by the task ahead. Jackie, you talk about when the Museum of the Bible started as a vision and an idea, and some folks approached you all, then grew into a traveling exhibit, then became a building in Washington, D.C. For you, I want to ask you, but as a woman in business and in leadership, the times when you've maybe felt ill-equipped, what do you do? Even practically, is there something mm-hmm. that you do if you're walking into a boardroom or getting ready to meet with someone all over the world to acquire an artifact? Well, how do you pull it together?
It comes down to my faith. It really does. And I do talk about the courage I've had to learn to work on in my own life because I have my faith. I have for many years now. So I'm not a brand new baby believer, but you know, even for me, I've ended up in places that I never expected to be. And I'm realizing, you know, I mean, believe me, I have said to God, don't you have somebody better for this than me? You know? But I feel like so often I know after I say that, I'm like, okay, God, yeah, that's so like you because all throughout the Bible, the stories that we know and throughout time, we see that God uses the unlikely, right? Mm-hmm. And those that don't feel equipped, but I also know in my heart that he equips those that he calls.
Absolutely.
And so it gives me great peace and comfort to know that, you know what, my insufficiencies are, that's okay. I am insufficient, but I know someone that is sufficient and that he will equip me for whatever he's called me to do.
Yeah. Lauren, I appreciated in here when you talked about your journey and working in the family business and the fact that nothing is handed to you. You needed to figure out if you could contribute and if a position would come along that you could apply for. Practically, I want to pick your brain on, you talked about some of the moments where you were fresh out of college. We, as young women, we can relate to this. We're ready to take on the world. We're fresh out of college. We think we know everything. And you were working. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we think we do, right?
We think we do.
And you were working with some individuals that were older than you that maybe had more degrees, more qualifications, and you then needed to lead them, whether it was when you worked for the family business and then later for the Museum of the Bible as community relations director.
Right.
What do you do? Because that's a difficult situation to step into.
Yes, it was very, very scary. Absolutely. There were many days when, similar to my mom just saying, just like, what am I doing here? There are so many other people that should be in this position and leading this team that are much more qualified than I feel like I am. And it just goes back to realizing that God placed me there. God gave me the family that I have. God gave me the opportunities that I have. And so I want to make the most of those. And so just trusting in him and then putting my best effort into whatever I am. So I think that was something I had to remind myself every day is, you know what, I, for whatever reason, undeserved, have this opportunity. So I've got to do my best to be equipped to try and work my hardest and to do the best that I can in order to represent my family well, but as well, just for myself, live out the calling that God has given me. Because I did feel that God opened those doors for me. And so I was there for a purpose. And so I wanted to do the best that I could. So I think that it's really helpful for us to remember that we have these opportunities. And so how can I do the best today with what I have in front of me today? How can I be the best that I can be at doing this job?
Yeah. It's apparent too that hard work, excellent work, excellence.
Yeah, it takes hard work.
It's important in your family. And you had the degrees. I mean, I don't mean to say that you tell everyone about your education.
Well, I didn't at that time. Yeah, I had just finished my undergrad whenever I started working with the museum and started pursuing further degrees while I was working at the museum. So I did finish two other master's degrees, both from seminaries. And I'm currently in a PhD program, which again can bring up other insecurities. I didn't know if I'd be able to keep up with the rigorous program that a PhD program is and contributing to conversation and doing the research. So yeah, I'm still in the midst of that and the throes of that every day. So it's a journey. And I, again, am telling myself that, you know, do the best that I can today. And that's good. That's good enough.
Good for you, Dr. Lauren.
Not yet. Eventually.
Eventually.
We're working towards it.
But good for you. That's incredible.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, one other thing as she's talking, I'm realizing that, you know, you hear her faith and her strength coming through, but a lot of that is through her scripture, knowledge of scripture and her relationship with God. And you know, as a child, we try to really instill in her, whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might, you know, which is a scriptural concept. And I think that's, for both of us, just something that we've really tried to endeavor to do. It's just to do our best with wherever we are. And I think that's an important message for women everywhere, to lead in whatever capacity you can, wherever you're placed, whether it's for a child or, you know, as a teacher or in the business place or a corporate atmosphere. Wherever you are, you have opportunity to lead in the little ways. So I love the subtitle, How a Woman's Everyday Shapes an Eternal Legacy. And so just to realize that we can take opportunity every day.
Yeah.
And we might not see that return on that investment, so to speak.
Yes.
But knowing and trusting that we're just going to do our best with what we have and where we are.
Sure. If you have an audience of millions or an audience of one.
That's right.
Do your best work with the task given to you. Mm-hmm. And ladies, so many people, as I do this podcast, so many people have shared that it's been small seeds that were planted, small choices made along the way that led to something greater.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And being intentional with every single step of the way for you, Lauren, every single job, you know, was a stepping stone to the next thing. I got to ask you this, two strong businesswomen before me, what's the best business advice you've ever received?
Be a servant leader, I think, is the main thing. I think that's always a good thing is to lead, but with a serving heart.
It's good.
And I think just the example I've seen in business is stay focused. What are you good at? Stay focused on that and don't try to be everything and everything under the sun. Be focused and be good at what you're excellent at.
Easier said than done. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
I have been asked this question many times in the last couple of weeks, and I want to ask you all, how can faith communities support women and the Me Too movement as this whole movement is going along and opportunities for women to speak out and to lead? How can the faith community support the Me Too movement, do you think?
I think that the faith community can have open arms to these women that are perhaps finding themselves being able to say Me Too and helping them in the process of healing and dealing with the difficult situations they've had in their past. As well as I think the faith community can be an example for how women are to be treated and valued. In the Bible, God created both men and women and with equal value and to be respected both equally. So I think that the faith community has a lot of opportunity to be a bright light and to love on women and care for women that are hurting, as well as be an example for how women should be treated.
I agree. And I'm thinking of one of the stories in the book that we feature was Mary Magdalene. She was the first witness of the resurrection. Okay. And so, you know, we see that she had a not so great past, but you know, Jesus loved her. And
yes,
and,
indeed.
You know, she had a community around her that loved on her and respected her. And I just think it's an important message that we've kind of gotten away from, that the faith community could jump in and, like Lauren said, be a light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Life is messy, but your mess can be your message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Mary Magdalene reminds us of that. You know, mm-hmm. I so appreciate that you included her story. I got to be honest with you, ladies. Sometimes I wish the Bible included the Gospel of Mary or the Gospel of Mary Magdalene.
Yes.
I want to hear more from these women.
Right.
And you've dug deeper in giving us those stories, which is so important. Okay, our time is about up. You want to do some rapid-fire questions? These
sure.
are always fun.
Hey,
I love to get to know people just a little bit better. Okay, besides the Bible and your own book, what is your favorite book?
That's tough. I really enjoyed Radical by David Platt. That was a book that I can kind of look at and think that one really changed the way I thought about life.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Check that out.
Yeah, and so I'm going completely blank. Oh, my goodness. Could I use the one that my husband and I wrote?
Sure, of course. Please, if the title of it is.
This Dangerous Book, and it launched last November of 2017. That was really fun. It was the first book I ever wrote, so it was quite a learning experience for me, but it's all about the Bible.
Yeah.
And so
I love the title.
This Dangerous Book. It can be dangerous, right?
Yes. So. I love it. Favorite movie of all time?
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Oh, that's a good one. Kate so Hudson, good. Matthew
yes.
McConaughey.
Classic.
Yeah. So cute.
That is a good one. But Sound of Music is my all-time favorite forever and ever. It has been. So
The Hills Are Alive.
Yes.
How do you both take your coffee?
Black. I make it every morning in a French press and drink it black.
Nice.
Yeah. No, I have to have the cream. So, yeah.
Cream it up. Me too. Mm-hmm. Who is the most interesting person you've ever met?
Oh, Megan Alexander, I think.
Stop.
That's really good.
I know for a fact that's not true. You've met really interesting people.
That's great. No, but wow, we've met so many people. Whenever I met Lauren Strice Kennedy a couple years ago, was just so amazed by her joy and her story. So she honestly was really interesting. That's probably why I included her in the book.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've got two coming to my mind. I did meet Queen Elizabeth, I have to say.
I did.
But it was before I knew she was my cousin.
So you couldn't say cut.
No, I didn't, you know. And I knew all the manners. They tell you, you know, don't shake her hand unless she reaches out. But she did reach out. She shook my hand. She said something I can't even remember because I totally, you know, froze and just smiled like an idiot probably. But I did meet the queen. And this might be a little controversial, but I did meet the president one time, our current president.
So, sure.
You know, and he was very, very charming and very pleasant. And so that was really interesting.
The president and the queen.
Yes.
Tough to top that.
Yeah. And the Pope. Hey, the Pope.
We did meet the Pope just a couple years ago. That was fascinating. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, that was
amazing.
Wow. I would love to meet him someday.
Yeah.
Think of it.
It was incredible.
His impact and all he's doing. Pope Francis, how did you meet your husbands?
I met mine at church camp. Yeah.
How old were you?
I was a young teenager. He remembers, you know, seeing me singing and all this on the other side of the gym. For me, I just remember watching him playing basketball, you know, thinking it was really cute.
I was 7 years old when I met my husband. We grew up together in the same church. And so I really don't remember life before Michael was in it. So, yeah, high school sweethearts that met in Sunday school.
I love that. Seven.
Yeah, 7 years old.
My son is seven right now.
Well, maybe he's meeting his future wife.
You never know what's going to happen at church camp or Sunday school, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. You never know. If you could invite three famous people to dinner all at the same time, who would be at your dinner party? And you could give them your book.
Wow. Okay. Taylor Swift. I can't think of anyone else. Do you have any?
Well, the three that I mentioned earlier. Can I go back with
sure.
those? The Pope, the Queen, and the President?
Well, that would
I mean,
be a fascinating dinner conversation.
What a dinner,
right?
And Taylor Swift.
And then Taylor Swift in there with you. Well, you know.
I love it. I'm coming to that one. When is the last time you were terrified? And how did you handle it?
Well, honestly, but this week, we've been on a media tour. And so as we were starting the media tour, it's like, you know, you've got 4 days ahead of you of back to back to back media. And I was pretty terrified. I think I almost had a panic attack just thinking about it.
And you weren't feeling well. We both started the week not feeling well with different things. And it's like, oh, no, really? You know, the morning that we get up to launch and head out, neither one of us meet at the airport feeling very well.
Yeah.
So,
oh, gosh.
Yeah, that was a little terrifying.
Scary.
But I do have an experience. When I was, we were on a trip to Costa Rica. And we ended up flying in late at night. And we ended up in this diesel van that sounded like an airplane taking off. My husband had never driven a diesel van. And we had to go on this to the other side, you know, the coast, and it was getting dark and the roads weren't marked right. And it would say to our destination was, you know, 2 kilometers. And then the next one might say it was 9 kilometers.
Oh, no.
So it was like, this doesn't even make sense.
Oh, no.
And I was terrified because there were places where it was just a drop off on one side of the road. I was praying for angels to be carrying the van, to be around us. I wanted to see them.
Gosh.
I was asking, please, God, just let me see the angels.
Ooh.
That would be so helpful. But that was it for me. Yep.
And
Costa Rica.
Those moments greatly increase our prayer life, right?
Mm-hmm,
for
yes.
me, it's flying. And I do it all the time.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
And I still grip the seat on turbulence. but I fly every week for work.
Yeah,
and
you're very brave then. You fly a lot.
You know what? It helps my prayer life.
I'm right there with the Lord. We're having conversations. I'm like, Jesus, what do we need to talk about? Okay, every week.
Most embarrassing moment.
Mm. Okay, well, the only one I can think of right now is I remember when I was in high school. It was the last day of school, and so the whole class was going out to go bowling for the end of the day, like as a fun activity. And I, you know, I'm in high school, I'm insecure, I'm trying to be cool. And I, instead of throwing the ball forward, I accidentally let the ball slip and I throw it backward into everyone. And I was so embarrassed. But
those moments
moment.
Happen. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Okay. For me, I don't know. Maybe it's kind of embarrassing. Yeah, it's embarrassing. I was on an airplane and with a group of 12 women, we were going on this big trip together to celebrate a birthday of somebody turning a number, a zero after the number, you know, big birthday.
Yeah.
The very first flight out of Oklahoma City, I get up to let somebody have my seat and move to the window. Now, I don't know how this happens, but I stand up and I move really fast and I tore my ACL right there.
Ooh.
The people in the aisle heard this loud pop.
Oh,
I had
gosh.
No idea what happened.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just like, you know, grabbing my leg, you know, and they're like, what was that? I'm like, oh, I just kind of sprained something, you know. I was just so embarrassed that I tried to cover up like it was really nothing. But think about it. We see grown men rolling on the ground on the football field when they do this.
Oh, yeah.
And I was trying to cover it up like it was no big deal.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was a big deal, especially when I got to the next layover and I couldn't walk.
You can't walk.
Oh, no.
You can't walk.
I was leaning on my suitcase, really trying to just hold it together and get to the next gate.
Jackie, did you get to a hospital?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, this happened to my husband in the gym.
Oh, no.
He heard the pop and he had to go down. He could not walk.
Oh, well, see, women are strong.
I can't wait to go home tonight and say, baby, let me tell you about Jackie when she tore her ACL.
She waited until she got back home from the vacation to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
How long? How many days?
Like 5 days, I think. Yeah.
You are superwoman.
Well,
5 days?
It was probably stupid, really. But I was so embarrassed and it was pride. I'm going to just make a confession.
Gosh.
It was pride.
That's unbelievable.
I went to the beach and everything.
My gosh.
I was trying to walk on the sand with this leg that wasn't held together. It was ugly. It was crazy.
Had you completely ripped it too?
Completely.
Oh, my goodness. That's what happened to my husband. And he was in a hospital bed within hours. And Jackie went on a 5-day vacation. You have that inner will that you're just determined.
I was determined.
That's amazing.
I was going to the beach with my friends and we were going to have a great time.
Oh, you need to climb Mount Everest next.
Yeah.
You make it to the top.
That is a great story. That is a tough story to top. I don't think anybody can. That was amazing.
What's next for you both? Next dream? What's the next chapter?
Well, I'm hoping to finish the PhD program in a number of years. So I'm just hoping to continue making that as I work still at Hobby Lobby Corporate. Yeah.
You'll do it. Yeah. She's got a mom that will make sure to encourage her to do
it. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So I think for me, just, you know, I still have 2 kids at home. I have 6. And so, you know, we've been on this crazy journey, wild journey, just following God's leading for things that he's doing that are big and wonderful things. But I'm kind of ready to, tune it back a little bit and just stop and smell the roses, so to speak.
Yeah.
Just enjoy finishing raising these last 2 and do it well. And I have four wonderful adult children and two sons-in-law, one coming again. I have a wedding to plan in 2 months.
Ooh.
You know, and a daughter-in-law and four grandkids. So, you know, life's big and full and blessed. And I just want to be there for them in the best way that I can.
Sure. And you're doing a great job. Thanks. Wedding's nothing when you've been hobbling around with a torn ACL. You're like, oh, that's nothing.
That's fine.
Ladies, thank you so much for the conversation. It is so fun to pick your brains. You both are shining lights in this world. And I personally am so grateful for this book. Women need to think about their legacy. What is the meaning of life? I probably think about that once a week at least. What's the purpose of it all? What am I doing at the end of the day that's important? It is so crucial to have these conversations. And your book lets us have those conversations with our friends, with our colleagues. And I just want to add that it's a book about women, but guys are getting something from it too. My 7-year-old son asked me what I was doing today. And I told him, I said, I'm going to interview these two women. They wrote this book, Only One Life, How a Woman's Every Day Shapes an Eternal Legacy. And he's hearing about all these women that you put in the book and what they're doing. And that's something that guys can then say, what am I doing with my life too?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So even men are influenced by women, right?
Absolutely.
You know, in a good way. And invested in by women all over the world. And so a really sweet story real quick. One of the dads this week came through a line when we do a book signing and he said, I'm buying this. I have two daughters and I'm going to go through this with my daughters because I want them to understand the value of their life. And so I thought that was really precious. So men too.
Absolutely. Thank you for giving us this tool. What's the takeaway for maybe for a woman out there that is questioning her worth, what her legacy can be? Maybe she doesn't have the resources in front of her, or she's really at a dead end in life and isn't sure what to do. What would be your advice to that woman who wants to do this but isn't sure how?
I hope that women walk away with an encouraging word, just realizing that they have purpose and they have a great opportunity ahead of them to shape an eternal difference. And that it doesn't matter. We need to stop comparing ourselves to others, but see that God has placed us at a specific place in a specific time for a reason and to do the best of our ability to honor him and glorify him and to make the most of every opportunity.
Yeah, and I think it's important for us to realize that whatever gifts, talents, and whatever we have to offer is enough. When we have God giving us the strength and the guidance and the direction, he will provide the opportunities, but we have to be open to them and to look for them and just be obedient to just do whatever God's leading you to do and not question it too much. That's one thing I've had to learn is just don't question it. If you feel God's leading you to do something, just do it.
Yeah.
Then often later I see the benefit, you know, but I'm also confident that even if I don't see the benefit in this lifetime, that you know, God has a bigger plan that I don't know. And hopefully my investment in others, my influence will impact others and I'll have a story that outlives my life.
Mm. Enjoy the journey. What incredible journeys all these women have gone on and we can learn from them and have our own awesome journey and make the most of this life and leave a legacy. The book is called Only One Life, How a Woman's Every Day Shapes an Eternal Legacy. Jackie Green, Lauren Green McGaffey, soon to be doctor. Thank you both so very much for chatting with me today.
Thanks for having us.
And to all of you out there, stay inspired.